Corrie is on the line from the Heart and Stroke Foundation. Today, our topic is all about salt, and we'll chat to Corrie about Salt Awareness Week. And Corrie, good morning. Welcome to the show this morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Wayne. It's lovely to be here.
And Corrie, thanks for joining us. Salt Awareness Week. Can you please tell our listeners what Salt Awareness Week is all about and why the Heart and Stroke Foundation is part of the global Salt Out movement, or the hashtag Salt Out movement?
Yes. So this week is Salt Awareness Week. It's every year from 11 to the 17th of May. We did our data here at Heart and Stroke. We saw that almost more than one in three South Africans are living with high blood pressure. We know that salt causes high blood pressure. But interestingly, our data also showed that many people believe their salt intake is normal. So there's clearly a gap between what people perceive and hidden salt that is in our diet that we don't know that we're getting in. So yes, that's why we are raising awareness around this theme. We actually have the theme, make the salt shift, swap salt for potassium salt substitutes.
And what is the make the salt shift campaign aiming to achieve?
Yes, so the campaign is all about helping people make realistic everyday changes to reduce the quantity of salt they consume. We know that completely excluding salt isn't always practical. So we are focusing on small sustainable changes. We're also focusing on alternatives. Many people aren't even aware that something like potassium salt exists. That can help you lower your salt intake. So yes, so this campaign, we're encouraging people to look at substitutes, also to read food labels, of course, because that's where the hidden salt comes from. Everyone thinks I'm not adding table salt to my food. I don't add much during cooking. So no, my salt intake is normal.
Right.
But then we see high blood pressure and we don't realize that actually these processed foods that we buy have hidden salt in them.
It's almost salt by stealth.
Exactly.
And you don't realize it. But the question is, how much salt are South Africans consuming compared to recommendations, and where's most of it coming from?
Yeah, so if we look at the recommendation, so the World Health Organization recommends that we consume less than 5 grams of salt per day, and that is about a teaspoon. So for the whole day, the aim is to consume less than a teaspoon. And like I mentioned, that includes table salt and salt that we add during cooking, but it also includes salt that is already present in food that they add during processing. And that's what South Africans don't realize. Research shows that South African adults while consuming anything a range between 5 to 12 grams, on average about 8 grams per day. So that is much more than the recommendation of 5 grams. So
right.
The research also showed that, yes, this salt, this hidden salt, is coming from processed and packaged foods, items like bread, processed meats, sauces, soups, snacks. These are where most of our salt is coming from.
And the question then is, why is too much salt intake dangerous, especially to cardiovascular health?
Yes. So we know that high blood pressure is one of the leading risk factors for heart attacks, for stroke. You know, when your blood pressure is constantly high, the heart has to work in overdrive all the time. It leads to these little micro tears in the blood vessels, which then the body tries to fix by building them up with fatty deposits. And then we know that can actually block the blood vessels. And that's when you get a serious event like a heart attack or stroke. And what's so dangerous about high blood pressure is that it's often called the silent killer because there's no symptoms. I mean, you can be thinking, like we mentioned, you have a normal salt intake, you're not getting too much salt, all the while not knowing that you're walking flavor, but there are many things that we can use instead of salt to get this. So there are tons of herbs, raw spices. If you think about your turmeric, your cayenne pepper, paprika, cumin, these raw spices are very good to flavor food without adding that sodium that harms the body. If we think about garlic, ginger, chili, lemon juice, all of these things can be used to add tons of flavor without getting that sodium. And then we mentioned lots of our sodium is actually coming from processed foods, and that's why it's important to read food labels, to check the ingredient list. If one of the first three ingredients is salt or sodium, then you know that product is high in salt and sodium. So yes, it's always important to do that. And then on the other hand, cut back on processed foods. So the more processed the food, the higher the likelihood of added sodium and, of course, other things like sugar and fat as well. So it's wherever you can make the switch to a more natural whole food that is already going to benefit you so much. And then consider switching to potassium-based salt. So that's an option. It is available on the market. Instead of normal table salt, we do have potassium salt available.
And what exactly is potassium salt, or what are the potassium salt substitutes and how do they work?
Yeah, so potassium salt is a relatively new product. If we look at normal table salt, the chemical composition is sodium chloride, and it's that sodium that is linked to high blood pressure and of course needs to be limited. So what they do in potassium salt is either they remove the sodium completely and replace it with potassium, or they remove a ratio. So they might leave 50% sodium and add 50% potassium. So potassium is a mineral that kind of does the opposite of what sodium do, where sodium in the body raises blood pressure. Potassium actually helps lower blood pressure, relieves the pressure in the blood vessels, and that's why it's so beneficial and linked to improved blood pressure control. So yeah, so that's what they do in potassium salt substitutes. So they're taking out the sodium, replacing it with potassium, and then that improves your blood pressure control. Of course, we have research. For example, there's a study that showed that substituting with a potassium salt led to a 40% reduction in stroke incidence and 12% reduction in all-cause mortality. So that's very positive results.
And how does potassium salt substitute taste compared to normal salts? And are they safe for everyone?
Yeah, that's a great question. Of course, taste is one of the biggest motivating factors. So there's actually research from South Africa. So a South African study done at the University of Witwatersrand, or WITS, that showed that 62% of participants liked the 50% potassium salt blend. So that's where there's 50% sodium, 50% potassium. And that combination was the best tolerated. Participants could hardly tell the difference, and they said they liked it and they would use it again. And that is really great, because that means you're already getting 50% less of the sodium that you would have gotten. So that's very good. And then if we look at safety, potassium is a mineral that's goes into the body. It helps, as I mentioned, to reduce blood pressure. It's also something that has to be controlled and cleared via the kidneys. And that means that if you are someone with advanced kidney disease or with kidney issues, you might be sensitive to something like a potassium salt. So for people with kidney disease or taking very specific medications, we always say rather check with your doctor first. It might still be beneficial for you, but check with your healthcare provider.
And then, Corrie, what role does the food industry and government play in reducing salt intake?
Yes, so because Most of our sodium comes from processed food, and that's where the food industry comes in. Both government and the food industry have a huge role. We know that especially our low-income households rely on ultra-processed foods because they are less expensive, they last long, and they're often sold in bulk. So that's why items like bread, processed meats, if we think about starches like noodles and so on, lots of low-income households rely on them. And these are also the products that can be very high in sodium. So that's where food industry and government comes in, so that we can control and regulate the amount of sodium in these products, because low-income households should be able to buy products that are still good for them. So yeah, definitely important that government and food industry work together to regulate and reduce the level of salt in our products.
Now a question about natural salts. Now, I mean, salt by its very nature is actually natural, but natural salts like Himalayan pink salt, is it healthier than regular salt?
Yeah, so that's a common misconception. There's always these trends going around, pink Himalayan salt, sea salts, you know, different mineral salts, and them being healthier. Unfortunately, if we look at the sodium content, most of these salts have the exact same sodium content, which means they are not, there's not one that's healthier than the other, and they still really need to be reduced and controlled, because it's that sodium that is going to increase your blood pressure. They are definitely not healthier, and they still should be below that recommendation of 1 teaspoon a day.
So in other words, the bottom line is, if it's got sodium in it, it's basically normal salt.
Yes.
No matter how you've spun it.
Yeah.
Then, Corrie, what role does the Heart and Stroke Foundation of South Africa play in reducing, or in salt, what role do you play in salt reduction initiatives in South Africa?
Yeah, so the Heart and Stroke Foundation South Africa works very closely with the National Department of Health to reduce population level salt intake. So as we mentioned, government and industry play a huge role. And that's where we come in. We do public education campaigns and we advocate for policies. I mean, South Africa is actually one of the first countries that introduced a sodium regulation in 2016. Which means that it was law that companies had to reduce the amount of sodium in their products. So Heart and Stroke Foundation played a very big role in advocating for that and working with government to do that policy. And we are a study that was co-authored by our CEO, Prof. Pamela Naidu, actually showed that 75% of packaged food products now do comply with these national sodium targets, which is really great, because it means there are now products available that are lower in sodium.
And are then technically safe, or safer?
Yes, especially for households that have to rely on these products. It means that they are getting in less sodium, their blood pressure are less likely to be high than what it would have been without these type
without
of regulations.
Those regulations. And then, Corrie, one last question. Where can listeners get more information about Salt Awareness Week?
Yes, so listeners can get more information, practical tips, recipes. We do have a low salt chart booklet that shows different common household food items and exactly how much salt is in them from low to high. So it makes it really easy to identify foods that are high in salt and rather go for the low salt options. So all of this information is on our website, and that's at heartfoundation.co.za.
Right. Corrie, thank you very, very much. Have a great salt-free week, and we'll chat again next week.
Thank you so much. It's lovely being here and having this really important conversation. We'll chat again next week.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much there. That's Kari Erasmus, one of the registered dietitians at the Heart and Stroke Foundation, chatting to us about Salt Awareness Week.